the rest of the story. George had a lifetime love affair with the land. He was born on a farm. He was brought up in the country. And until he was fully grown, he'd never even seen a town of 5,000 people. George was a tall, stoop-shouldered man with chestnut-colored hair and a face marred by smallpox. But he was a kindly-appearing fellow, and yet, if there was one thing that defined him better than any other, it would be his kinship with the soil. The more years he farmed, he once said, the better he loved farming. There was no greater satisfaction anywhere, he said. It was, quote, the most delectable life. To see plants rise from the earth and flourish by the skill of the laborer, he once told a friend, it fills a contemplative mind with ideas that are more easily conceived than expressed. But, well, this is the rest of the story. George's love of farming led him to experiment agriculturally, and in the process, he grew or attempted to grow just about every crop imaginable. On his farm, George cultivated ribgrass and orchard grass and guinea grass, Botany Bay and white nankeen, clover and marl and burnet and alfalfa, eastern shore peas and Siberian wheat, barley and beans, turnips and taters, rye and oats and carrots and corn. George's experimental plots lay between his flower beds in the spinner's house, his botanical garden, he called it, the scene of more failures than successes, but such is the experience of every horticulturist who, in both meanings of the phrase, breaks new ground. George was a scientific farmer. He owned and read and reread every available book on the subject. He painstakingly separated the bad seeds from the good seeds and the good from the better. He drew up an elaborate crop rotation schedule. In fact, George was the first farmer in the New World to rotate his crops. And he continually tested new fertilizers and composts of all kinds, studying the effects of each on various plants. He dragged mud from the bottoms back to the ridgeland from whence it had washed. The soil, which he nourished, produces crops even unto this day. Because the science which he explored has been practiced ever since. I mean trees still stand that were planted by his hand 200 years ago. By now, surely you've guessed that George, the pioneer agriculturist, the man who loved the soil, was George Washington. The George Washington. But from this day forth, I hope you'll remember just one thing more. That the father of our country, our nation's first president, who grew such a vast spectrum of crops at Mount Vernon, at the same time, undoubtedly was the last American of such prestige to cultivate and harvest, knowingly and intentionally, a crop grown then to make clothing and bagging and marine rope. It was something called Indian hemp, which you now know as marijuana. Only now you know the rest of the story.